pray he'll bless you.
I need him.
Amen. We need him.
Thank you. Good evening. It's so very, very special for me and my wife to be able to be here with you. I just feel the presence of our God with us this evening. Of all the places out there in the world, we're in a little sanctuary right here. And I feel the Spirit of God is going to be in the midst of us. That's a precious thing, you know, brothers and sisters. That the God of all creation can be with us. You know, as Brother Stan was talking, I got to thinking about fellowship that he mentioned. And I'd like to read just a little bit, maybe to start, from John, in the first chapter of John. 1 John, you know, we have such a good God, such a wonderful God. Can you imagine walking with Jesus Christ? John says in the first epistle of John, in the first chapter, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. Can you imagine feeling Jesus Christ as you're walking on this earth? Can you imagine being with Him, watching Him, and kissing Him, and knowing that He was sent from the Creator? The God above sent His only begotten Son and walked this earth. That we may know how to walk in this world. He said, we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. We have seen it. And bear witness. That's what John is telling us here. He is bearing witness to us that he saw Jesus, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That's a marvelous thing. Jesus Christ is eternal life. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. That's John. Can we have fellowship with John, one of the apostles? Can we have fellowship with one another? Not without Christ. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, listen to this. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The only way that we have fellowship, the only way that we understand the love of God is through Jesus Christ. We are here today because of Jesus Christ lives in us. I believe that, brothers and sisters. This world out there is not something that entices us any longer. It is the wonders of Christ that works in us, that draws us. He says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Do you ever feel the joy of being close to Jesus Christ? Think if Jesus Christ was sitting in your midst. Can you imagine that Jesus would be with you? Brothers and sisters, He lives in you by His Spirit. It's a precious, precious thing. We are nothing without Him. We are nothing without His guidance. We're nothing without His being in us. For it is God that worketh in you to will and do of His good pleasure. We are nothing without Christ. This then is the message that which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. God is light. What a wonderful thing that is. You know, if we look at things from the Apostle Paul and how much he loved Jesus Christ, how much he taught us in the Scriptures, I'd like to go into the Ephesians letter. In the first chapter of Ephesians, Apostle Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The God and Father. That is the Son of Man and the Son of God. The God and Father. According as He, this is God, has chosen us before the foundation of the world, have chosen us in Him, that's in Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Me, us, holy and without blame before Him, the Creator of all things, the purity, the righteousness. We are, God sees us pure and white as snow. I can't get over that, brothers and sisters. The vile person that I am, that because of what Jesus Christ has done, and it is finished, He looks at us as purity. There is a seed that remains in us. He says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto Himself. What does that tell us? Unto the adoption of children. It is His purpose. It's not our purpose. We don't come to Him. He puts something inside of us. I will put my laws in their inward parts. I will put it in their minds. I will be their God. They shall be my people. That's all about the New Testament. Let me look at that just a little bit in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31 and 29. In those days, they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. It's no longer all of the under the law of Israel. It is now individual. In this grace, think about this, but everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Everyone shall die in his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. Although I was an husband to them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen. Our brother just told us about making that soft, that hard heart into a soft heart of flesh. I can't help but go there. Ezekiel. I had so many things on my mind that I wanted to say. And the Lord takes you over here. Sixth chapter of Ezekiel, 24th verse. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean. Think about that. I will sprinkle clean water upon you and ye shall be clean. Where does that come from? That comes from John 3. I'm sorry, I'm jumping around here. But we've got to get this. Jesus answered and said to them, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Born of water. That's the washing of regeneration, the way I look at it. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Amen. Amen. We're a twofold creature, brothers and sisters. That's why we have all of these problems in this life. I had a good friend of mine that told me, I said, why am I having all these problems? He looked at me and he says, it's called the flesh. That's the way we are, brothers and sisters. We love darkness more than we love light. But when God is working in you, When Jesus Christ died for your sins, and God put these laws in your inward parts, you know what's right and what's wrong. He says, I'm going back to Jeremiah now. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. Now, do we have to go and save others with our preaching? He says they will all know me. Didn't say that I need a preacher to go bring them to me. He says, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. I'm glad of that, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Aren't you?
Amen.
Because we're sinners. Back to Ezekiel in the 25th verse. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean for all your filthiness and from all your idols. A new heart also will I give you. This is the rebirth, brothers and sisters, the way I see this. And a new spirit I will put within you. A new spirit I will put within you. His spirit bears witness with our spirit. He puts a new spirit in you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God.
Amen.
How precious is that? That is the guidance of God above.
Amen.
For each and every one of us. He says, I will also save you from your uncleanliness. And I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the trees and increase in the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways. You ever feel bad about what you've done in this life? Have you prayed to God for forgiveness? And your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Yes, we feel unworthy. Because we are unworthy. Our righteousness is as filthy rags as compared to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But God sees us through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I can't believe it sometimes. Not for your sake do I do this, saith the Lord God, but be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the way shall be builded. He is promising good things to his children. And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. My dear brothers and sisters, When we are all come together, lifting up the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, thanking Him, being thankful each day of our lives, then He manifests Himself to us. We feel the wonders of God Himself. We feel a closeness to Him. We can be in fellowship with one another just as John had fellowship with us when he tells us about walking and touching Jesus Christ. It's a precious, precious thing. But I want to get back over into that as Ephesians letter. Because it's all taken care of in our eternal destiny. But I want to talk a little bit not only about our eternal salvation, but our salvation in time. But he says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. The mystery of his will. What is that mystery? What is that mystery? It's Christ in you. Hope of glory. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. According to his good pleasure. Think about that. God works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Not our good pleasure. That's why you want after right things. That's why you see righteousness as something that draws you. He says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. Fullness of times. When is that? That's when Jesus Christ was born. That's when Jesus Christ died for our sins. That is the fullness of time, my dear brothers and sisters. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. We have an inheritance in that eternal kingdom. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Okay, let's talk a little bit about this temporal salvation. That's all situated. That's all set up before the foundation of the world. But we have a responsibility in this time world to be obedient to God, to give glory to God. Let's go to the other part of Ezekiel. See what he says about this. 18th chapter. He's talking about something a little different here than a eternal salvation. He's talking about a temporal salvation. The word of the Lord came unto me again saying, it's the 18th chapter of Ezekiel, first verse, second verse, what mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion anymore to use this proverb. You can't say it anymore. You're not going to suffer for the sins of your mom and dad. You're going to suffer for your sins. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Think about that. I've got to get a Roman scripture on that. Chapter 8 of Romans, the 6th verse. Go to the 5th verse. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnal minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Think about that. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We're a twofold creature, brothers and sisters. Hath given forth, let's go on into the 18th chapter. 17th verse. That hath taken off his hands from the poor, that hath not received usury, nor the increase, hath executed my judgment, hath walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father, he shall surely live. 20th verse, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Now what's he saying here? Let's get down to the 29th verse, and I'll try to wrap up in Ezekiel. Yet saith the house of the Lord, the way of the Lord is not equal, O house of Israel. Are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God, repent. Remember what Jesus said when he first came? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so an iniquity shall not be your ruin. Listen to this. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. Did you hear what he said there? Make you a new heart and a new spirit. You already have a new heart and a new spirit from your God above. He's telling you, you have something to do in this time world. Make you a new heart and a new spirit, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, say the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. We have a responsibility and obedience to God that we walk in the ways that He has instructed us. That we walk in the way that Jesus Christ walked. That we look towards the good things and not the sinful ways that we have. In the 6th chapter of Romans, he talks about that God has made us where we're no longer debtors to sin. We're no longer under the bondage of sin because what He has done for us. 16th chapter of Romans, in the 25th verse. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. That's what we're doing here, brothers and sisters. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, make known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Now the Apostle Paul loved his brethren so much. I'd like to read in the first chapter of Colossians, in the 25th verse, whereof I am made a minister. This is the Apostle Paul talking to those at Colossae. According to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Apostle Paul has said some wonderful things to us. Ephesians letter, 3rd chapter. I want you to think about what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Of the benefit that we have for drawing nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to us. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's Apostle Paul talking to us, praying for his brethren, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Have you ever felt the strength of God working in you according to the inner man? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. Did you know the love of Christ is an everlasting love? It is a love that we can't even come close to understanding. Jesus loved us with an everlasting love. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. All the fullness of God. You know, as we were traveling over here, seeing new country that we'd never seen before, you just get lost looking out into the creation that God has made for us. There are so many times that you can just get lost in looking at His wonderful nature. It's a precious, precious thing that we have such a wonderful God that blesses us with all these spiritual blessings. When we see in nature, we see what He's done for us, we see the love that He's put in our hearts, it's a precious thing. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through the ages, world without end. I'd like to finish up in Isaiah in the 43rd chapter. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, the Savior. Without me there's no Savior, he says. Fear not, for I am with thee. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. You were made by God in your mother's womb. You have a purpose in this life. He tells us right there to glorify his name. It is a wonderful thing that we can come together, those of like mind that feel the love of God in their hearts, those that you know and love immediately when you first meet them because of the fellowship in Christ. It's a marvelous, wondrous thing that we can come together as a little band of soldiers and lift His name high and give Him the praise that is due, and be thankful in this life. Walk in this life as if you were thankful. We can't forget about the things that He's blessed us with. We can't forget about all the many, many blessings. Ye are my witnesses, He said, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen. He has chosen you for a purpose, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. We are all so very inadequate to express the love that God has put in our hearts. I feel so inadequate sometimes trying to walk a way that He teaches me. Because within me, the things that I would, that's what I do not. The things that I would not, that's what I do. But we do have a loving Savior. One that is watching over us, lifts us up from time to time, promised us eternal salvation, shows us a way of temporal salvation, a way, a good way, that we might enter into His wonderful gates and love one another and love Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and spirit. It's a wonderful thing. Thank you for your time. It's so good to be with you. My prayer is that each and every one of you feel the Spirit of God in your hearts. Thank you.
It is such a blessing to be back with you here at Zion's Rest, and just very, very thankful for another opportunity to stand before the Lord's people. And I beg that the Lord would bless us with His manifest presence. I've been thoroughly enjoyed the preaching thus far, and have been very thankful with the sweet fellowship, and just being with God's people makes my heart glad. The psalmist, I believe, said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up into the house of the Lord." And David said, "One thing have I thought after. One thing have I desired to dwell in the house of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." And I believe the Lord has given us His church here in this world as a place of safety, security for God's little children to come out of this old world and be separate and walk as a separate people. I do need so much of your prayers tonight. I have had many good thoughts today and have been blessed riding down the highways and thought many good things about the Word of God. But I find in my efforts to preach that that doesn't necessitate that I'm going to be able to share with you the things that I like to. As much as in me is, I want to preach and to declare unto you the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. I also know that I'm completely dependent upon the Lord, that I have no ability or strength in and of myself. And I stand before you is in me just a failure. I claim to be nothing more than that in and of myself. And I would not have your trust in any way tonight stand in the wisdom of man. I don't even want to preach in a way that you might begin to trust in the wisdom of man. But I pray that I'll come before you and the Lord will bless in power and demonstration of the Spirit that your faith might be in the God of heaven and your faith might not stand in the wisdom of man but in the power of God. And when the Lord blesses in a congregation, though you may feel so cold sometimes and so far away from Him, when the Lord manifests His presence, then we have something that no man can produce or copy or mimic. It's that which only comes from the Lord. And I pray tonight that He'll bless us with those things. I believe He already has in the preaching of the gospel that we've heard, and we thank God for that. I'd like to read to you tonight from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. Again, please pray for me. Now, this passage of Scripture has been on my mind says here in chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Think of this occasion in the life of Andrew and Peter, Simon, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And what a change that occasion was for them for the entirety of the rest of their life. You know, when you think about them on that given day, they probably got up that very morning with no thoughts that this day was going to be hardly any different than any other day that I've ever lived. And yet the Lord knew all about what he was going to do. He knew who they were. He knew where they were. He knew what he had in store for them. He knew the great responsibility he was about to lay and impart upon them. He knew what they were by nature. And in spite of that, he had a major cause for them to walk in and to live their life by. And that which was going to take place here for them was going to completely change their life from that point on. And what a mess they would have been had the Lord not come to them somewhere in their life. What a mess they would have been if the Lord had just simply left them right where they were by nature. What a mess their lives would have been as they lived them, and what a sad death it would have been for them when they died. Because outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only is that true for James and John, and Andrew and Peter, all the other disciples, but it's true for every single one of us in our lives. What a state we would have been had the Lord just left us where we were by nature. And these men were no different than other men. They were all the sons of Adam. If they run their family tree and run their lineage, whether they ran it through, as these men did, the Jewish nation, there was no righteousness that was there because of their bloodline. There was no righteousness that was there because of who they were by nature. There was no righteousness in them, in their behavior, or anything they could have done. There was nothing that fitted them for the calling that the Lord was going to give them. There was nothing that caused them to deserve that. There was nothing that they had done to make them extra special. As a matter of fact, them being fishermen showed that the Lord didn't choose the wisest and the brightest, but he came to those that would maybe, by the world standards, the least likely to do that which would he have them to do. But oh, did he not give them what they needed? Was he not everything that they stood in need of? And was that not only true for their eternal salvation, but it was also true for their timely deliverance here in this world, that as they looked to him and leaned upon him and depended upon him, they would have the ability to do what he called them to do, even at this time, I don't believe they had any real clear understanding of just what that meant. But he did. Isn't it good tonight to know I don't have to know everything, but that he does? Isn't it good tonight to know that our life is not in our hands, but in his hands? That our eternal home is not in our hands, but in his hands? That our timely deliverance, wherever you are in life and whatever's going on around you, though you may be like they were, toiling all day long and not coming up with anything beneficial, I guarantee you, if you'd have come to Peter and said, "How was your day?" He said, "I've had a rough day because I've toiled all night long and I've caught nothing. I've not caught a thing, and I'm just cleaning out my nets and hope that tomorrow's going to be better today." And he had no clue that this was going to be, really, in a sense, one of the better days in his life, because he was going to be called from a life that was a total waste to a life that had value and that had purpose, because it was the work of Almighty God he was going to be called unto. And that calling was not something they had to prepare themselves for. It's not something that they had to get themselves ready for, but it was something they had to depend upon the Lord. He said, "Follow me," over in Matthew, "and I will make you fishers of men." What does that mean? It means we're supposed to do what he tells us to do, and he says, "Follow me." And then he will make us, as we follow him, that which he would have us to be, as we lean upon him, as we learn of him, as we come to him. "All ye that labor and heavy laden," he said, "come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." It says, "And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." Wouldn't it have been something to have been able to live in that day and time and to heard from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, as we've already heard preached tonight? They handled him, that one who was the word of life. They saw him, and even those that sometimes would make light of him said, "No man ever spake like this man. This man spoke different. This man never spoke anything he had to say. Oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake." He didn't have to correct himself. You ever said something, you said, "No, I shouldn't have said it just that way." Or sometimes you realize it, and sometimes you don't even hardly know you said it until somebody points it out and you say, "Well, I really didn't mean it that way." Jesus never had to apologize for how he said something, because he said everything he said perfect. There was not a word spoken from his lips that was not perfection. There was not a thought in his mind that was not perfection. He was like us in that he took upon himself a body of flesh, but he was unlike us in that there was no sin or blot or blemish in him. Not even the thought of sin ever entered into his mind. And he was perfect. Would you love to hear that kind of preacher? I love to hear my brethren preach when they're lifted up in the Lord and power and demonstration of the Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that blesses them and delivers them. But wouldn't it be something, you know, even them, when they're lifted up, we still ought to try the spirits to see whether they be of God. Because there's also that old nature that can creep in the middle of one of the best sermons, and an old man can utter something. Have you heard them? Just listen a while. If you haven't heard them, you haven't been listening long enough or hard enough, because in the best of sermons, there are things that are mistakes. With Jesus, you didn't have to worry about whether it was going to be true or not. It was everything he said was as good as the Bible. Hey. Isn't that wonderful? And yet he used the Bible and he pointed to the Scripture. You know why he did that? Not in order that he could confirm what he was saying. He did that in order that he might confirm the Bible. He's the Word of God, the living Word of God, told us we can trust the written Word of God. He didn't use the Bible to say, you know, tonight, you're not to follow me any farther than I follow God's written Word or the teachings of his Word. Because what I say and what I think doesn't amount to a hill of beans if it's not supported by the Word of God. But when Jesus taught, everything that he said was just as good as the Word, and he pointed to the Word to let us know we can count on the Word. I can count on the Bible. Why? Because Jesus said, "I can count on the Word." He said, "It is written." Not to say it's true. It is written, and it was to confirm. And he pointing to the word confirms the word. Tonight you and I can depend on his words. What a thing, what a day it would have been as they were blessed here. And yet we are also blessed because he hadn't left us without a comfort. Isn't that good? You know, even though he taught and he was with them and was their comforter while he was there, when he said, I go away, and they knew what he was to them while he was there. He was the great comforter. But aren't you glad he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to abandon you. Though I'm going away, and that for a purpose, I will come again. But I also will leave the comforter. We sing a hymn, Holy Spirit, faithful guide, ever near the Christians. Side, lead us gently by the hand. When we are here tonight, the Lord is with us in the person of the Holy Spirit, and we can hear His words. And as we try the spirits to see whether they be of God, and what He says in His word, you and I can count on it. That's why He told us when He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Where can we find His yoke and learn of Him? I believe it's right here in the pages of God's word. As a matter of fact, I believe that's what he was telling these men. You go preach the word. You go teach the word. You preach Jesus Christ. You preach the living word, but you also testify of the written word, which declares the living word. And then the preached word has to come in power and in demonstration of the Spirit. And when it comes in power and in demonstration of the Spirit, it moves the hearts of God's children. It feeds them. It feeds and it helps them. In so many wonderful ways. Listen, tonight, every minister of the gospel, as the disciples were called to go be fishers of men, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Listen, he makes us, which means he prepares us, he qualifies us, he gives us the ability. And when we trust in ourselves, Paul said, I have no confidence in myself or in my flesh. And my ability did not come from me, it came from God. The one who calls us gives us the ability. And as we walk in the ability the Lord gives us, we can be a benefit to God's little children. And when we find those, listen, you may feel like I've been, have you ever just preached and preached and preached and just felt like I haven't caught a thing? Well, here's the good news. When we follow the Lord and when we look to Him and we lean upon Him, we can count on this. He will bless us and will supply us that which we stand in need of. And though we can't open the eyes and we can't open the ears and we can't open the hearts, we believe in a God who can. And when He does, it's a change that takes place in the hearts of a little child of grace. And they who cannot see are able to see, and they who cannot hear are able to hear, and they who do not have a heart, they are able to understand. And that comes from the Lord. And as we do that, we walk in that calling the Lord has given us. We ought to be looking for God's little children that we can help along the way. Somebody said, well, what have I got to help them? I'm telling you, if you have an understanding of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have good news that God's little children need to hear. That there, for one who feels without a Savior, it's good news tonight, isn't it? To hear there's a Savior who didn't just try to save you, who didn't just want to save you, who didn't just hope to save you, but there's a Savior who came and saved all His people, every one of them, from all of their sins. He didn't try to pay for some of them and hope you'd get the rest taken care of. He came and gave His life for the sin of His people and washed them in His own shed blood and secured our eternal home in heaven. And there won't be one for whom He died that He will miss. I'll tell you, when you find God's little children who've been wrapped up in the work systems of this world and are going about to try to get it done, that which only God can do for them, it's a great relief for them to hear there's a Savior who truly saved. They didn't just do all He can do, and now it's up to me to get it accomplished or apply it to myself. I spent many years trying to apply something to myself that the Lord had already done and finished. And when I heard the good news that salvation was by grace, it was a great burden lifted off of me. How about you? Was it a burden lifted off of you? You wonder how in the world could those men that stood before us be blessed to share those things. I'm telling you, it's the Lord who gave them the ability to preach it. It's the Lord who gave us the ability to hear it. It's the Lord who gave us the understanding. And it's a duty and a responsibility. He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. That was Peter's ship that just went out into the land. And you know, I can't get all of this pictured in my mind, but I sure like what the Bible says about it. And he sat down on that ship and he spoke. And as he spoke, the words that came out of him, listen, the one who spoke on this day was the one who in the beginning of time said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He was the one who created the heavens and the earth and spoke this world into existence. What a blessing it would be to hear the words coming from the living Son of God. Now and then he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw." Simon probably would say, "You know, Lord, I don't know much about what maybe you've said or all that you've done, but I do know something about fishing, and I've been out there all night long, and I've been laboring hard all night long, and there just ain't no fish out there. I've been after them. I put my nets out there." And he said, Simon answering said unto him, here's his best word. He said, "Master." Oh, tonight, said Master, you may be in trouble tonight. I don't know where all of you are. I don't know what's going on with any of you, all of you. But I'm telling you, if you have one that spoke this world into existence as your master, you have a friend that you can look to and one that you can lean upon who can supply exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. And then we can lean on him tonight. This little church here can lean on him tonight. The ministers who may be discouraged can lean on him tonight. And those of God's little children who sometimes wonder if things are going to ever work out can lean on him tonight, because I'm telling you, he is our master. He's our help. He's our strength. And he's proven it already to us, hasn't he, in our lives? We can look on him and lean upon him and depend upon him. And Peter may not have known a whole lot here, but he knew something, didn't he? He said, "Master." And he said, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." And boy, that describes my whole life and really all that we are by nature. He said, "I've toiled all night and have caught and have taken nothing. Nevertheless," hear this, "nevertheless," here's faith. Where did he get faith from? The Bible tells us where his faith comes from. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. He didn't get that on his own. He didn't just make a good decision that night and decide, "I think I'm going to follow this man, and I think he's got something." Somebody, the Spirit of Almighty God, touched his heart and allowed him to know and see this was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he said, "Nevertheless," he said, "at thy word I will let down the net." What he really said is, "Lord, whatever you tell me to do, I want to do it." Somebody, if you ever get to the place where you just don't know what to do, when you don't know what to do, then you stand still. And when you stand still, you pray, "Lord, open up the way." And when the Lord shows you the way, you take up your cross and you follow him in whatever way that is. And you don't say, "Well, I've tried this before and it didn't work," because you may be toiling all night long. I'm telling you, things are different, isn't it, when the Lord's in the matter. When you and I try to get things done, we make a mess of it. But when we leave it as it belongs, and we said leave it in the Lord's hands, I want to say to you, whether you leave it or not, it's already in the Lord's hands. But isn't it some peace that comes in the heart of a little child of God? And isn't it the duty and the responsibility of the minister to tell God's little children to leave it in the hands of the Lord? Don't try to do what only he can do. Do what he gives you the ability to do as he gives you the strength to do it. But then do you leave the outcome into the Lord's hands. And I'll tell you what, you'll never be ashamed you trusted in him. He will supply what you need. It doesn't mean that automatically everything just gets straightened up. But I'm telling you what, he can take that which was empty in your efforts. And he can fill your net so great. He proved to them what he could do. Just think, he'd been out there fishing all night long, hadn't caught nothing. And there they go out there and they lay down. Can you see the fish? I can see the fish. When the net goes down in the water, the fish just roll in. You know why? Because the Lord was in the Lord's in control. Hey, isn't that good news tonight? Our God is in the heavens. And what has he done? Whatever he has pleased. And does he have to ask my permission? Oh, no. Does he have to ask yours? Oh, no. Does he have to ask anyone in this world? No, I'm telling you what. He can take an empty net and fill it in no problem whatsoever. As a matter of fact, he says, let down your nets for a draw. You know, just those words alone tell me there's going to be a draw to fishes. And that word draw just means a catch. I mean a big catch. A haul, if you will. Not just a few. Not just a few. Enough to sink both ships. I mean, they began to sink when he got finished with it. I'll tell you what, when we look to the Lord, he not only can give us what little we need, as we may be like the little woman that had to reach over and look into an empty barrel and get her last meal for a period of time until that time. Or you may be like the one who said, just bring me some more cups and we'll fill this all up. The oil's flowing. Just bring, all we need is some more cups. Just bring the cups and we can fill it all. Or you can put down the one net. And I'm telling you, there were some others that were going to be involved that didn't even have a clue what was going on in a sense. James and John didn't have any clue what was going to happen either. They just saw that and went like, wow. What a catch. What a catch. Jesus said, you think this is something? What I'm about to call you to do is greater than any. Tonight, I believe with all my heart, being here at this little church is the most important activity that a little child of grace can do in this world. I believe it's more important than being anywhere else. I believe the calling that God has given you, whether it is a minister of the gospel to preach the word, or whether it's to be a member of his church, or whether it's that calling that God has given you and called you into your life, is more important than your position as a father, a mother, a grandparent, a grandson, whatever you might be in your life. It is the most important thing. And we have no ability to walk in it outside of the Lord. But when we walk in it, in the way the Lord would have us do, he can fill our nets. Not only can he will. And that doesn't mean Gary get everything he wants. It means Gary is to be satisfied with what the Lord gives him, knowing that the Lord has filled my net as he keeps his promises to me every single day. That as I look to him, he will never leave me and he will never forsake me. And even though I may go through some dark trials and some dark troubles, the Lord will bring about, and even in the midst of them, the workings of God will always be for my good. Now, that doesn't mean all my doings is for my good, because sometimes things I do are not for my good. But I'm telling you, the workings of God in my life, even overcoming at times the things which I intended to go another way, have always been for my good and will forever be for my good. Y'all believe that?
Amen.
I believe that. And I believe this is the one. He says, launch out into the deep, let down for a draw. And Simon answering this, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. They just let down the net. What did they do? They just did what Jesus told them to do. And when they did what Jesus, you know why? You know why those fishes came in that net? Because the Master brought them into the net. You know who can open eyes and ears and hearts? The Master. You know who can bless the preaching? The Master. You know who can bless the service? The Master. You know who can bless the singing? The Master. You know who can bless our homes and our families? The Master. And we are to look to him, not just in one thing as we come to the church, but in every aspect and area of our life. Now these men were trusting him in a natural activity, and these were natural fish. This was their livelihood. He blessed them in their livelihood, but it was about to stop being their livelihood, and they had even a more important calling that he had them directed to. He made their last day of fishing a very successful one. To prove to them that as they trusted in him, he was able, and he had a calling for them. Listen, the preaching of the gospel is important to God's little children. What does the preaching of the gospel do? He said over in the fourth chapter of Luke in verse 18, Jesus speaking here, this was his fulfillment of Isaiah. Jesus, Isaiah was pointing to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 18, Jesus had taken the book and he read from the prophet Isaiah. In verse 18, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Listen, the gospel is to be preached to the poor. Jesus was the first preacher of that, but then he called his apostles to also preach that. And then he confirmed those things with signs following. And then he has called and chosen men to preach that same. Today we're preaching that, are we not? The faith once delivered to the saints. Not something new. I'm not to come tonight to preach something new. I hope y'all would show me the door if I came preaching something new. We're preaching what? That we're called primitive Baptists, old Baptists, original Baptists for a reason. Because we want to preach and teach that which was first given, taught by the Lord, and then by them that heard him, and were confirmed by signs that followed him, and then given unto others that they may teach others also. And then we trust in the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us as we preach the word. We're to teach the word. We're to come from God's written word that declares the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does it do for God's little children? It's to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Tonight I'm looking for the brokenhearted. That's the fish. I can't break your heart. I can make you mad. I can make you angry. I can make you so angry you might want to kill me as I talk to somebody about how they're rotten. You know, we've said it before. You tell God, one of the things old Baptist preacher's going to tell you is that you're no good. And the reason you're no good is that your mom and daddy were no good. And the reason they were no good is that your grandmama and your granddaddy was no good. And that's the reason your children are no good. And when you come right down to the line, we all in Adam didn't get well. We died. And there's only one that was good. And the good news is that he came to save his people that were from that fallen race of mankind. He chose his people, and every one of them he washed in his own blood. And now we stand before the Lord clean, whiter than snow through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, that one that's broken in heart, when they hear that, what did Peter do when he saw these things and he understood it? Peter said, Lord, I've just been waiting for you. I'm a good man. I can really help you out. I can do this. He said, I'm a sinner. He was made. That's what the gospel does. It makes you see what you really are by nature. It tells us that we're absolutely no good outside of the grace of God. He said, listen what he said. He said, and let me get, I'm getting way ahead. It's a lot to tell. He says, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship. You know why they beckoned unto the partners? Because their ship was going down, buddy. I'm telling you, the fish would have been so many fish, this ship's going down. So they said, James, John, y'all come. We're about to sink. And he says, and which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. Look, we're going down. And they came and filled both their ships. They filled both ships. So that they began to sink. I'm telling you. That's who we're... Listen tonight. I wish I could just feel this all the time. I wish I could just... Sometimes I get out in this old world. I get scared and I have something happen in my family or in my home. And I feel overwhelmed and I think, how am I going to make it? And, you know, what are we going to do? And I forget there's a master who took a net and filled it with fish so that two ships were about to sink. And he did that. And that was just a little something. Listen, he not only filled the... He made the fish. He made the water they were in. He was directing them. He not only made the worlds, but the Bible says it's by his power that all things consist. That means that sun that comes up in the morning doesn't just pop up on its own. It's by the power of God. That moon that's in the sky at night isn't there by itself. It's in the power of God. And just as sure as there's day and night, there's a God who's in power that you and I can trust and depend upon and lean upon. And the darker it might get in this world, the more the old devil might come, the adversary, and say, just give up and turn the other way. Listen, we're to press towards the mark. We're to look to the Lord and lean upon the Lord. And ministers are to preach this because God's little children get discouraged. We're to tell them that over and over again. We're to preach this and to teach this. And it's the most important calling that we have. What do we preach? That there's a God in heaven who's the master. When Simon Peter saw it, I'm telling you what he saw it. He said, oh, I'm not worthy. Is that where you feel tonight? Oh, I got good news for you. That's the way it makes you feel, that you're in good company. You're in good company. Because it's to the brokenhearted. Listen, he said this over in verse 18 of Luke 4. He said to heal the brokenhearted. I got some good news for the brokenhearted. He said to preach deliverance to the captives. Listen, captive by this world and the powers of this world, you've got deliverance. Jesus died for sin, that you and I might be able to die to sin, which means we were captive and held captive by it. But now we've been set free in the sense, not that it doesn't have some influence on us, but we're not held captive as we once were. We don't have to do the things we once did to the extent we did them. And again, I'm not saying, as the Apostle Paul said, we've not attained that which we were. We haven't apprehended that which we were apprehended of Christ. In other words, what the Lord brought us to be, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. Y'all see that? We're not there yet. We're going to be there, not because we get it, but because He got us. Isn't that? Old Baptist preached that. We're going to have heaven, not because we attained it, but because He got us. And because of what He's done, He cannot fail. But we also are to lay hold on to all that He's given us as much as we can to the glory and the praise and the honor of God. And that's that temporal, that timely salvation that we have heard about already tonight. He says, and for he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draw, the catch of fishes, the haul of fishes that were which had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, don't be afraid. God's little children here need to hear that over and over. Fear not. He says, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Over in Matthew it says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And that means finding God's little children and sharing with them. You don't make fish. You catch fish. I can't make fish. I can't make lambs and sheep. But God has called me, and I believe if I'm a minister of the gospel, qualified me and give me the ability to feed His little lambs and His little sheep. And part of that is to preach deliverance to the captives, and to preach the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Really, we're talking about preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified to the glory and the honor and the praise of the Lord. And he said, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And brethren, that's what we in our individual lives today, as much as we can, forsake all and follow him. May the Lord bless us to do that better and better as we live here in this world. And it ultimately gives all the glory and the honor and the praise to the Lord. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.